everyone, welcome to Type Talks. Today we're here to talk about the commitment styles of the quadrants. And so the different quadrants are the EJ, EP, IP, IJ types. If you're new to this, I'll include playlists down below. And so each of the quadrants has a different commitment style, and Diane has a wonderful hypothesis for how this shows up. We will start with the EJ types, and this would be the ENFJ, ENTJ, ESTJ, and ESFJ. And so I'll let you take it away, Diane.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, Joyce. So when it comes to the EJs and commitment, EJs in general are pretty quick to commit. Commitment is pretty easy. And they also tend to follow through when they make a commitment. So for an EJ, their extroverted judging function is first, and their introverted judging function is last. So instinctively, EJs are going to understand and prioritize the group over the self. So unconsciously, there's less worry about how the commitment might impact you as an individual. You're just going to commit and follow through, kind of no matter what, even if you have to sacrifice your own desires in the process. It's just kind of like you who's sacrificing. So really, do I matter? Like, not really, right? I mean, that's not unhealthy EJism, but that is a little bit of a narrative that sometimes is unconsciously happening in the EJ mind. So commitment to others is most often fast and easy. Commitment to the self is harder. And commitment to the self is hard for a lot of types, but I think it's particularly true for EJs. So if the group needs it, basically I'm going to make it happen. If I promise myself, I might or might not follow through depending on how much time I have left over. So there's unconsciously less worry about how the commitment might impact you as an individual. So again, that goes back to quick and easy commitment. If you ask me, I'm probably going to say yes. And when I do say yes, I am going to follow through. And if I can't follow through, I'm going to tell you in advance that I can't follow through. So yeah, that's kind of how EJs tend to approach commitment.
Yeah, so it seems like EJs, they overcommit, and then they feel like, wow, I have so much on my plate. That sucks. But they still follow through anyway. And so whenever people need help, they feel that obligation or responsibility. Oh, I should help. They feel obligated to the group to be a good group member or to help out because they notice the dynamics of what needs help. A TE dominant, like an ENTJ and ESTJ, might be like, I need to make sure the tasks are getting done. And so I don't mind taking on more work to get this thing done, even if it might suck for me. And the ENFJ and the ESFJ may also be like that too, because it's like, oh, someone has to take care of this responsibility. I'll quickly take it. And whether that means being the leader, whether that means taking on more tasks, whether that means doing your tasks. And so EJs are the most overcommitted type out of all of the quadrants. And so now that we've tackled the EJs, we're going to go on to the IPs. And so these are the INFP, ISFP, ISTP, and INTP types. And I'll hand it over to you.
Okay, so the IPs are sort of the opposite from the EJs. So commitment to others may be slower to happen, but when it does happen, it tends to be rock solid. IPs tend to be fairly loyal when they do decide to make a commitment, but making commitments initially can be really hard for an IP. So this is the opposite of the EJ, in that the introverted judging function is first and the extroverted judging function is last for all the IPs. So instinctively, IPs understand and prioritize themselves over what's going on with the group. They know themselves, and so they know what they're willing to do and what they're not willing to do. They kind of understand that balance of, I can do this, but I might harm myself, so I'm not going to. They're much better at understanding that balance. So when an IP is approached with a potential commitment, they really tend to need to know kind of all the details in advance. They want to know, what am I really putting myself up against? What am I truly committing to? Because that's important to know before I can really tell you if I want to commit. Because when I do tell you I'm going to commit, I do mean it. So making decisions for themselves when it comes to IPs is really their specialty. But when it involves others, all the nuance is kind of needed first. How's that going to impact me before I'm willing to fully engage with a commitment to the group at large? So really, an IP will only commit if it makes sense or if it feels right to them as an individual. And once an IP does commit, they're typically the most loyal you'll find.
Yeah, so you'll see with the IPs, they're very in tune with themselves. And with the EJs, they're in tune with what the group needs as the first and foremost thing in their mind. The EJ notices when the group is not on track or where it should be, or where the group should be to be its happiest or most productive. The EJs have the pulse on the group, and the IPs have the best pulse on themselves. All right, so that sums it up for those two quadrants. We're going to go on to the EPs next. And so this is the ENFP, ENTP, ESFP, and ESTP.
All right, so when it comes to the EPs, there's a lot of talk about EPs and their absolute unwillingness to commit. And I think those stereotypes, there's some reason for that. But also EPs can be very okay with commitment. But I think it's a bit more variable when it comes to the EPs. So EPs are generally known, unfortunately, as the worst at commitment. But I don't know if that's really a fair claim. I think that that's more individual. Some people in general are bad at commitment. And maybe EPs in general, loosely, are overall the worst at committing in the first place. But I don't think it's fair to say that as an EP, you won't commit. And if you do commit, you won't follow through. So EPs have a balance with their introverted judging function and their extroverted judging function. So the introverted function is second, while the extroverted judging function is third. So they really have a good view of both their own needs as well as the group needs. There's kind of that balance and back and forth. The individual needs are weighed a little heavier typically with an EP, but there can be variation depending on the individual. So this makes the EP fairly easily able to understand both sides of the needs. So with that extroverted judging function third, that child position, pleasing others can be a heavy draw for some. So commitment may look sometimes like an EJ, so quick to commit. But it might have a little more flakiness on follow through, because maybe if they didn't truly understand their own individual needs and they committed too quickly, it's going to be easier for the EP to pull back from that commitment and not follow through. They're not going to get hit as deeply as an EJ might if they back out of a commitment. They also have a strong need, the EPs in general, for freedom. So lack of kind of tight limits put on themselves. They really don't like a lot of control. So sometimes predicting future feelings for an EP can be kind of a challenge. And so again, they may commit now and realize later either they have overcommitted and they can't possibly follow through on all the things they've committed to. And so they'll just ignore the ones they decide not to commit and almost flake, if you will. And so in general, commitment and follow through in the EP can be a little bit hit and miss. But if an EP values commitment in whatever area they value it, they tend to be very good at follow through.
And so there are quite a few EPs who are quick to jump to commit. And so these are the EPs who rush really fast into relationships. They're like, yeah, I like you. Let's go all into this. And then they're like, I don't really like this as much as I thought I would. And then they're like, And then over time, an EP from that behavior might be like, you know what? I'm going to be more careful to what I commit to, because I know I have this impulse to quickly throw myself into things and to just try things out, where I may not always want to commit. So you'll have those EPs who, from their experience of them being too quick to jump in, they're like, you know what, I'm going to pause a little bit this time. But they do have this natural, okay, I'm just going to try it, or I'm just going to jump in and explore. And so it looks like a initial commitment. So that's the similarity they share with the EJs. The EPs and the EJs are quick to commit until they teach themselves not to, if they ever change. And so this brings us to the IJ types. So this is the INTJ, INFJ, ISFJ, ISTJ.
Okay, so the IJs, like the EPs, have those judging functions in the middle. So they have good access to both the introverted and extroverted judging functions. In this case, though, it's in reverse of the EPs. So they have the extroverted judging function second rather than third. And so because they are introverted types, similar to the EPs, where EPs will commit quickly before they really consider their own needs, IJs sometimes will do the opposite. They will consider their own needs first before they commit. And so in some ways, an IJ out of the gate, when they first hear the proposition of a commitment will be a little like, whoa, similar to an IP, because they need to kind of check in with themselves to see if it makes sense or if it feels right. But then once they do decide to commit, they tend to really hold tight to that commitment, because they are really valuing the group's needs, and it's easier for them to sacrifice their own needs in order to follow through on what they've decided to commit on.
Absolutely. With the IJs, they typically do follow through with their commitments. What makes IJs different than EJs is that IJs have that little bit of a boundary that Diane talked about. So they do have that tune into the self at least a little more than an EJ type, where they're able to pause and see if they actually want to involve themselves in the situation. But there is, just like the EJ, a responsibility over the group. And so that may be a reason for them to accept a commitment just because they want to help with the group or better the group. And they might prioritize the group a little bit above themselves.
Yeah, and I would say on initial close look, and maybe as each of these types develop, they're going to look kind of like we described. But the more mature anyone becomes within their type, the more balanced they become, the more it's going to be easier to choose the right amount of commitment and the right commitments in the first place. And then it's going to be easy to follow through as well. When you make a commitment, you're going to mean it. And that's going to be the case across all types. If they're well developed and they've really balanced their own needs with the groups, they kind of know themselves, they know the groups. So yeah, in general, balance can make all of these look a little bit different, and it can be hard to see the difference using this criteria just in casual observation.
Yeah. So as you individuate, you will get to a more healthy stance with commitment no matter what type you are, but these are the extreme examples of each case. And so thank you, Diane, for your wonderful thoughts. And I hope you as the viewer were able to get some golden nuggets out of this. And I hope you enjoy your commitments, whatever they are. See you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.